comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. Let me start off. This is a good way to start a Friday. So let me start off with a question. What do you think of whenever somebody mentions alien abductions? Do you think that the witness or the victim is mentally unbalanced? Or do you think maybe this person is gullible and has just been duped? Do you think the story is possibly true? Or do you go stupid with remarks about little green men like the media, who invented little green men? Well, tonight, regardless of what your normal reaction is whenever you hear about alien abductions, you're going to get the opportunity to run the gamut of everything that you think and feel, because we're going to be talking about alien abduction. And we're going to focus on one particular case, although many of the things that I will say will apply to alien abductions in general. It's a very interesting case, an important case, a case a major government took seriously and investigated. What is it about that case that made them take it so seriously? Tonight is K-Files night. That means we will be we'll start to send out our K-Files right after the show tonight. Our K-Files, well, that's our free weekly newsletter. And, you know, let me stress the word free. It really is free. And all you have to do to be getting it is to subscribe and then activate your subscription. That's it. So scoot over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click that big link that says K-Files right in the middle of your screen and subscribe. Then you'll get an email with a link in it for you to activate your subscription. Now, if you've got one of those spam filters that filters out all new incoming email, you're never going to get the link for you to activate it. So you're going to have to somehow get K-Files at kevinsmithshow.com through your spam filter. But it's free, and it's a great publication. We send it out every week, and boy, this week has some heavy stuff in it you don't want to miss. You also don't want to miss all the great stuff in our members community. The members community is full of great extra features, like you can watch the show every night live. The archives are there, forums are there, chat is there, Video Galaxy is there. You get your own blog, your own video gallery, your own photo gallery. You get your own friends page. I mean, it's just absolutely full of great stuff. And it's only $7.50 a month to be a member. Why wouldn't you? We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. let's get the right buttons pushed here. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and wow, what a great way to start a Friday. Now, for those of you on my side of the planet, it's Friday night. For those of you on the other side of the planet, it's already Saturday. But what a great way to start a Saturday, huh? Now, if you're not already having a great Friday night or a great Saturday, you've come to the right place, because we're going to be diving into some really, really interesting information this evening. Information about alien abduction, a particular case that we're going to look at. And then we're going to be diving into the question, why did this one get taken seriously by a major government? And I think that's an important question to be asking. Maybe we'll come up with the answer. Maybe we will actually find the reason. At least we're going to suggest one I think may be it. Before we get into this alien abduction thing, let me say I know we have a lot of listeners around the world, and some of our listeners are brand new. You have not previously been tuned to the Kevin Smith Show. This is your first time. And some of you are brand new to the whole genre of the world of the strange and unexplained, UFOs, paranormal things, extraterrestrials. It's all new to you. And so if it's absolutely new to you, you may be thinking, well, I'm not so sure what I think about people who believe in these things, because, you know, I think people that believe in UFOs and believe in extraterrestrials probably have a screw loose. Well, you're in a good place, because no one here believes in UFOs. No one here believes in extraterrestrials, and no one here believes in doorknobs, beer cans, Volkswagens, or hammers. They either exist or they don't. And the same kind of evidence that it takes to prove to you the Eiffel Tower exists, that kind of evidence exists for UFOs. If you've never seen the Eiffel Tower, if you've never been there, you've seen pictures of it. You've heard testimony of people who have been there. You've heard testimony of people who have gone up on the top of the Eiffel Tower to the observation deck. But you yourself haven't. And yet there's not a doubt in your mind that it exists. Why? Because so many people have given testimony of having been there, and so many people have taken pictures of it, and videos, and film. And folks, with UFOs, there's absolutely miles of footage shot by military airplanes through their onboard cameras as they chase UFOs. There's miles of footage taken by other types of aircraft, and miles of footage taken by people like you and me on the ground who have seen them. And there's just days and weeks and years of testimony, decades of testimony of people who have seen them. So this whole thing about UFOs, do they exist and do you believe? Man, don't even come here and ask the question, do you believe in UFOs? That's the stupidest question that can be asked. Do you believe in Volkswagens? Do you believe in hammers? There's nothing to believe. They either exist or they don't, and the same evidence exists now for UFOs that exists for all that other stuff. Now, when we get to alien abduction, things are a little different. We have testimony. But do we have photographs of the aliens and videos of the abductions? Apparently not. And so the evidence is a bit thinner in terms of, what shall we call it, physical evidence. But there's a ton of evidence of other natures. Now, physical evidence, photographic evidence, it's thinner with photographic evidence. Physical evidence, yeah, there's a lot of physical evidence, including implants that have been taken out of people that have been tested by professional high-level laboratories and found to be constructed of things that are not on this planet. They don't come from this planet. And then there's just tons and tons of testimony from these people. One of the favorite things debunkers love to say is that eyewitness testimony is unreliable. Well, the justice systems of every country on this planet rely on eyewitness testimony. Debunkers love to say it's unreliable, and they say that because you get four different people who see the same thing, and all four are going to give you different descriptions of what they saw. Of course they will. Give them, it doesn't matter, give them a rhinoceros to look at, and all four are going to notice different things about this rhinoceros. However, they will all get the core story the same. It was a rhinoceros. And that's what we have when we have UFO witnesses and when we have witnesses that tell us about alien abductions. One of the things that really I'm pretty tough on, and maybe I shouldn't be, but I am, and there is a possibility at some point in the future I will change my views and my attitudes about it. So far I would say that's not looking real good for the home team. I'm probably going to stick right where I am on this, but I could change. It is subject to change, and that is this. People who see UFOs and people who give us testimony of having an encounter with extraterrestrial alien beings, sometimes after that, they will hang all kinds of spiritual things on it. And that's how, in my opinion, we got religions in the first place. But I don't, when I see a Volkswagen, I don't hang spiritual things on the experience. And when I see a doorknob, I don't hang spiritual things on the experience. I have seen UFOs, and I hang no spiritual significance on those experiences. They either exist or they don't, and if they do, they do, period, end of story. That's the way I approach it. Over in Ohio, there was a sighting of a really peculiar UFO. July the 18th, 2012. Just a few days ago, a couple of days ago. And they caught it on video. And this, when I say it's peculiar, it's not unique. I have seen things like this before on video. And it's pretty unique because when we get close-ups of it, we can see this thing is it's circular, doesn't look like a vehicle, but it's perfectly round, perfectly circular, and it's kind of like a donut, but the hole in the middle is not a hole. The hole in the middle has another circle in it, and it's pulsating, and it's really very, very peculiar, very interesting. Now, if that were the Eiffel Tower, and you were looking at this video, you would just shrug your shoulders and say, yeah, right, it's the Eiffel Tower. But when you look at a video that is clear and crisp, like this one is, of a UFO, we don't know what it is. Nobody's saying it's alien. Nobody's saying it's U.S. government secret military aircraft. Nobody's saying it's some kind of strange entity. Nobody's saying anything other than it is unidentified and it was in the air. But when you see this, again, if that were the Eiffel Tower, you would shrug your shoulders and say, yeah, so what? That's the Eiffel Tower. You would just accept it. But when you see this video of this UFO, if you're new to this genre and you're like most of the people in the world, who, by the way, are pretty much mushrooms, then a whole flood of objections comes to your mind. Well, that could be CGI. That could be Photoshop. That could be a hoax. It could be. Do you take that same attitude with your money? Every single time you receive currency, you could say, well, you know, that might be counterfeit. Yeah, it could be. So do you burn it or do you spend it? You see, when it comes to UFOs and alien abductions, this is pretty much the only topic where people think like that. It's weird thinking. It's illogical and irrational thinking. Yes, it could be a hoax. So could you. But the question is it likely a hoax? Is it likely a hoax, or is it likely that it is what it appears to be? Well, you have to look at a lot of other things surrounding the incident to decide whether you think this is real or if you think it's hoaxed. Pictures of the Eiffel Tower can be and have been hoaxed. But the Eiffel Tower does exist. Pictures of UFOs and videos of UFOs can be and have been hoaxed. But they do exist. If they didn't exist, why would militaries around the world send jet fighters into the sky to chase them from time to time? If they're not real, what are they chasing? Why are they up there burning up fuel and burning up your money? If they're not real, why do militaries take them seriously, even though they say they don't? You know, I know, the whole world knows they send jet fighters up to chase them from time to time, and they get pictures and videos of them. They get them on their radar tracks as well. So if they're not real, what's up with the militaries doing that? They do exist. They are real. I don't know what they are. If I did, they wouldn't be unidentified flying objects. They'd be IFOs, identified flying objects. So they're not, I don't know what they are. I don't know where they come from. I don't know who's driving them or what their intent is. I have no idea about those things. But I do know they exist. Just like doorknobs, hammers, and the Eiffel Tower. Well, back in 1992, there was a really significant event that took place. Most people outside of the UK probably haven't heard of it, but some of you may, because it's much in the news for the past couple of days, for those who read news having to do with UFOs. 1992 in Edinburgh, Scotland. Just outside of Edinburgh. The story has to do with two men. These two men are just ordinary, everyday people like you and me. And they're driving. And as they're driving on the A-70, it's called the A-70 abduction case. As they're driving, suddenly they see a black craft in the sky. It's a two-tiered circular craft. It's black. It's shiny. But its surface, according to them, didn't really look normal. It had a kind of a strange quality to it. It's nighttime. But even though it's night, they can see the blackness of this craft. And then the driver of this vehicle, these two men, by the way, are named Cullen Wright and Gary Wood. And they were headed over to a friend's house in a in another town about 30 minutes away. And they can see the blackness of this craft. The driver steps on the gas and tries to just get out of there, just to, you know, get away from whatever it was. And he hits about 70 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, there's like a curtain of light. As they went under the craft, there's like a curtain of light that comes down around them. And they described it as the snowy effect on a television when the channel is off. And you're tuned into the frequency, but the channel's off, and you get that snow effect all around you. And they said that's kind of what it was like. And the next thing they knew, they were on this craft. The car and they were on the craft. Apparently having been, if you will, beamed up. Apparently having been transported from the ground up into the craft. Would you say, if you didn't know anything else about this story, would you say, these guys must have been drinking, or they must be telling a tall tale? Well, I'll tell you something. These guys have not sought publicity, and they have, in fact, Cullen Wright, his approach to this has been to just forget it and refuse to talk about it, and he wants no part of it. Gary Wood, well, he was so interested in what happened that he became really a student of UFOs and became really, you know, he kind of immersed himself into the literature and trying to find out what's happened to him. And neither one of these guys has been out there trying to get publicity. Now, it is, a book has been written about it, and it is going to be a film. But up till now, these guys have sought no publicity. All right, we're going to step away for a break. We'll come back with more of their story right after this.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, also known as the world's hottest talk show host.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show, and this is Kevin Smith. We're talking about alien abductions. We're talking about a particular case that I find absolutely intriguing, and I think you will too by the time we get it all laid out here and you can see why. Or at least you will see why I think the Ministry of Defense took this seriously. This got reported to them not at the time. It was 4 years later, in 1996, whenever they discovered this case, when it got reported to them. Now, let me say to those who are watching on television, if you're watching on our TV channel, you are getting to hear what people on the radio are not, because some of our streams have gone down. Well, they're back up now, but that's good. We're being interrupted, and I would say that, you know, that's kind of like putting a big yellow highlighter over the top of everything that we're doing here and everything that we're saying. So I apologize to those on the radio who got interrupted. You're back online now. Remember that, and remember that when we get hit, when we get interrupted, it's just like putting a huge yellow highlighter on top of everything I'm saying. So this A70 case, well, it's pretty important. They remember, if you just type in on any major search engine, just do a search on A70, all one word, A70, abduction. And you'll be able to find tons of articles now about this. Some of them were written in 2000. Some of them were written since then. And you'll see lots and lots of information about this. But it got reported to the Ministry of Defense in 1996. And they investigated it. They took it seriously. Not all of the UFO cases that came into the Ministry of Defense got investigated. Some of them got investigated, and some were just sort of filed away, and that was about it. Happens in lots of governments around the world. Lots and lots of governments do that sort of thing. Why did this one get investigated? Well, this one had you hear a lot of stories from people who say they've been abducted. And a lot of them, you know, it's the same old stuff. And that doesn't mean it's not true, but I mean it's repetitive stuff. This one has some very unusual aspects to it. First of all, the entire vehicle got transported aboard the craft. We don't hear that happening very often. Next, these guys saw 20 to 30 little aliens, 3 to 4 feet tall, and then a few that were about 6 feet tall. Looked pretty much the same. They even sketched what they saw. In addition to that, they saw a small human-looking figure observing everything. Now, some people might say, well, okay then, that's probably one of those MILABs or MILABs, military abductions. Doesn't matter. You still have a UFO. You still have the fact that they were transported aboard the ship, car and all. You still have the fact that they saw non-human beings there who were doing all kinds of work, and they saw lots of other humans there. Now, part of this involves them being put into a sort of plexiglass or some kind of transparent, like, tube, and their ankles were fastened down. Various experiments conducted on them, including putting something into the eye that was very, very painful and was not a pleasant experience. At one point, they thought they were probably taken underground because they could see some tunnels, and it looked like they were underground. So maybe it was military alien abduction. Possibly, and maybe not. There are people who say that these extraterrestrials have their own bases underground and under the ocean. Again, for those of you who are new to this, you may be saying, well, that's just nuts. Oh, really? Well, it goes all the way back past Christopher Columbus. You know, Christopher Columbus entered into his logbook a UFO sighting that came up out of the sea. And you know, I mean, this goes centuries back, folks. So this is not new. This is not sci-fi. This is, you know, this is doorknobs, Volkswagens, and hammers. But there are features to this particular experience that caused the Ministry of Defense to investigate this one. They even questioned the U.S. government about this, the U.S. military, and asked them, you know, is this anything to do with your Aurora project? And they were basically told, mind your own business. That's our business. We don't talk about that. So what is it about this one that has the MOD seriously investigating it? Now, we know they seriously investigated it because they just released a new batch of their UFO files, and it's in there. And, you know, it talks about their investigation into it. What is it that made this one something they wanted to look at, that made this one something they wanted to investigate? Bunch of little gray guys. And by the way, those of you who are in any way affiliated with the media, give it up on that little green men nonsense you people use. Come on, it's time to flush that down the toilet where it belongs. You invented that. Forget that. Nobody reports little green men. Little gray guys? Yeah. So is it that they saw a bunch of little gray guys? No. I don't think so, because little gray guys are in almost all of the alien abduction stories. A lot of them that don't get investigated. Is it that this one included some 6 foot tall gray guys? No, that shows up in other abduction stories as well. So I don't think either one of those has anything to do with why it got investigated. Now, perhaps one of the reasons that it got investigated is transporting this vehicle from the roadway, moving at 70 miles an hour into the craft. Now, when that first happened, the guys blacked out. When they came to, the car was swerving down the road, and they thought maybe 10, 15 seconds had passed. They got the car under control, slowed down, pretty agitated. And then at that point, all they remembered was they had seen the craft, blacked out, and then here they are. So they went on to their friend's house, where they were headed originally. They thought probably it was around 10:40 at night. And they got out of the vehicle and began to knock on his door. And their account is that the upstairs window opened and the friend looked out and wanted, in not so polite terms, to know, what are you doing at this time of the morning? And they said, what do you mean at this time of the morning? You know? And he told them, I think he said it was, you know, like 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning. A lot of time had gone missing. And anyway, he came down and let them in. They told him what they had seen. And they were pretty agitated about it, pretty uptight about it. And it was later that the memories began to come back to them of what had happened on board this ship. And then under hypnosis, more of the memories came out. What happened on this ship, more of the faces of other humans. One in particular that the witness says, if I ever saw this person again, I would recognize this person. So it was over a period of time that the memories began to surface. And they reported it, and then the MOD got interested. So maybe it was this thing about transporting the car, moving at 70 miles an hour, you know, and then it just got beamed up. Now, that certainly would be something technological that I think just about any government would want to look into. Their file does not indicate that. But I would think that would be something that would get their attention. Teleportation. Apparently this craft could do it and did it. And the MOD took it seriously enough that they wanted to investigate the case, indicating they at least thought there was some believability about the case. Now, how they eventually came out on that, regardless of what their report says, you'll never know. What gets committed to paper and what the actual facts are and the way that the people involved in the investigation actually thought, that never gets committed to paper. Now, how do I know that? Well, you know, my background is as a cop, right? And every cop listening right now, we have lots of cops around the world that listen to this show. Every single cop knows this. You don't put your opinion in the report. You put just the facts that were reported to you, that you investigated, and you could either substantiate this claim or you were unable to substantiate the claim. And you don't put your opinion into the report. Opinions don't go into these kinds of official reports, or they're not supposed to. And so what the people who did the investigation really thought about this, we probably are never going to know. But the fact is, there was enough about this case that seemed credible to them that it got them to investigate this case. They were curious, and possibly this could be true. Let's investigate. Maybe it's that teleportation of the vehicle and the people. That could be part of it. And I would, if I were a betting person, I would bet that that is part of it. But I don't think that's all of it. I think there's something else way, way deeper and bigger that they really wanted to dig into. And it's something that happened in an encounter, an exchange between one of these witnesses and an extraterrestrial. All right, we have to step away for break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about alien abduction this evening, particularly the A-70 alien abduction case that took place back in 1992. Now, I've asked the question, why did the MOD get interested in this one? Why did they take this one seriously enough to really investigate it? As I said, maybe it's that teleportation thing. That's got to be part of it. But because obviously, at that point in time, at least as far as we know, nobody had the ability to do teleportation like that. Now, maybe they did, but I think probably they didn't in 1992. And in 96, when the MOD got this report to them, when it came to them, they really wanted to look at this. They wanted to check into it. So maybe the teleportation thing is it. But I think there's something deeper here. Now, there were other technological things, though. I mean, like, at one point, they were put onto a stretcher, and each one put on a stretcher, and then the stretcher was free floating. Nobody was carrying it. It was free floating. And then they were taken into this room where various procedures were done. And they said it was cold in there. It was a circular room. What furniture there was sort of rose up out of the floor. It wasn't sitting on the floor. It was like molded. And it just came up out of the floor. And no light fixtures. There was just light coming in through a sort of translucent corrugated type ceiling in the room. And so there's some technological features to this that perhaps would have made the MOD very curious. I would think they would. But remember, there are two guys here, and one of them is named Gary Wood. So Gary Wood's testimony about one particular thing really might be the thing that spurred the MOD forward on their investigation. So at one point, he looks at the creatures and he mentally asks them, "Why are you doing this?" He just thought it to them. He mentally thought it towards them. "Why are you doing this?" And an answer appeared in his mind, which is both surprising and a little bit disturbing. Are you ready for the answer? The answer was sanctuary. So he looks at them and thinks, "Why are you doing this?" Telepathically comes the answer, sanctuary. And he could sort of see fragments of the existence of this being that was speaking to him telepathically. And a further mental communication said this: "In many ways, you are more advanced than us, but you have been capped." C-A-P-P-E-D. You have been capped. "Our existence is much like your own. We also have concerns and needs." Think of this. "Why are you doing this?" he thinks. The creature telepathically says, "Sanctuary. In many ways, you are more advanced than us, but you have been capped. Our existence is much like your own. We also have concerns and needs." Sanctuary. Well, this concept, sanctuary, reaches way deep into our past. It goes into ancient times. There were sanctuary cities where someone who, for instance, accidentally killed someone, manslaughter, and unintentional, but they killed someone. There's an ancient code that's still practiced in Albania and in some other parts of the world. And that is, if you do something to my family, I have the right of revenge. So if you accidentally kill my grandfather, then I have the right to come kill you, and or perhaps you and another family member. But if I kill another family member, then your family has the right to retaliate against us and take out an additional family member. It's a blood feud. And so these ancient, and that still exists, it's such a problem in Albania, they have a blood feud commission to try and settle things before revenge is taken. But in ancient times, they had sanctuary cities, so you could flee to a sanctuary city Maybe you didn't want to live there, but it beat not living. You flee to the sanctuary city, and you were guaranteed sanctuary. You were guaranteed safety in the sanctuary city. If you left that city, you're on your own. But as long as you're in that sanctuary city, you were safe. So this idea of sanctuary is an idea of fleeing someone who intends to do you in, fleeing to a place of safety. And when he asked them in his mind, why are you doing this? The answer came back, sanctuary. From approximately the late 1990s up until today, and the crescendo is building, there is among leaked rumors, if you will, from various militaries and from various levels in the military, a concern that there is a coming UFO, I don't want to use the word invasion, but there is a deep space force coming this way, according to these rumors. And there's this concern that there's going to be some big conflict. Now, some people say, well, they're just building that. That's nonsense. They're just building that as a false flag. And then there's going to be some attack and from space, and they're going, it's us, you know, it's our own crazed leaders doing it, but they're going to blame it on extraterrestrials. Well, in 1992, this being says to Mr. Wood, to Gary Wood, telepathically, in answer to his question, why are you doing this? The first word that comes is sanctuary. And there's been a lot of debate about what all that means. But the generally accepted understanding of the term sanctuary is, well, it can be like a church building, but the concept of sanctuary is a place of safety that you flee to get away from people who are trying to do you in. This being says to him telepathically, the reason that they are here, the reason they are doing what they're doing, is sanctuary. But then when you go further into that statement, he says, you know, in many ways, you're more advanced than us. But we also have, he says, but you're capped. A lot of debate about what that means. Maybe it means our DNA has a switch turned off and we cannot evolve beyond a certain point. Maybe it means that our DNA has a certain switch turned off and therefore we die at a fairly young age, 70, 80 years old, fairly young. You may think, well, that's old. No, it's not really old. Look at the Earth's age. Just look at how long humanity is aware that it's been here. 70 to 80 years is not old at all. But maybe there's a switch turned off in our DNA that causes us to age rapidly and then die after 70, 80 years. For some folks, 90 or 100 years, if you live to be 200. At this point, we think that would be fabulously old, but it isn't when you compare it to the length of time that's been here on this planet. All right, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. All right. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted that you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. But we're talking about alien abductions, and specifically one, because it's got so much rich material in it that we don't normally hear from abduction cases. This one was taken seriously by the Ministry of Defense in the UK and was investigated. Why did they take this one seriously and investigate it? They investigated a bunch of them, but they certainly didn't investigate every report that came in. What is it about this one that had them taking it seriously and had them motivated to investigate it? Well, the two witnesses, Colin Wright and Gary Wood, have a very down-to-earth but fantastic story. By down-to-earth, I mean, we're not being given, the great scheme of the cosmos. We're not being given the great plan of the Galactic Federation. That sort of thing, we're being given a very down-to-earth report about some very fantastic experiences. And that's important. It's important that you understand that the account, the event was fantastic. The account of the event doesn't have that quality of embellishment about it. It seems very straightforward and very down to earth. Although the event itself is not, although the event itself is fantastic. But I've been talking about why I think the MOD got interested in this. And of course, there's some technological stuff, the teleportation of the car and its occupants. Beam me up, Scotty kind of thing. It happened in this account. And so there are some technological things I think they would want to look at. The free-floating stretchers. Nobody had to carry them. Technologically, there are things about this I would think they would want to look into. Also, I think there's something even more serious here. And that is that Gary Wood had a telepathic communication with one of these beings, creatures, people, aliens, where he thinks at this alien, and why are you doing this? And immediately the word comes back into his mind from the alien, sanctuary. This would indicate they're on the run from somebody. If, as the MOD looks at this, if this account is a true account, this is a group of aliens on the run from somebody. What does that tell you? Somebody else is coming. That's what it says. That's what it tells you. They're on the run from somebody. And somebody else then is chasing them. From about the late 90s, we started hearing these rumors, and they have crescendoed. They're pretty loud now, that militaries, major militaries, those with space capabilities, are looking into deep space, scanning for who's coming. And that the rumor is that much of the black budget stuff, the trillions of dollars that disappear into a black hole, you never know where it goes, you never know what it's being used for, that much of that has been used to develop spacecraft and weapons and et cetera to handle whoever's coming in case we get caught up in it. Other people look at that and they say, no, it's just going to be a false flag thing. Nobody's coming. I don't know which it is. But I think if I were MOD and I'm sitting there, now this came in after Nick Pope was no longer doing UFO investigation for the MOD. It came to the MOD after that. I think he stopped in 1994, and this came to the MOD in 1996. But I think if I were sitting there looking at this account, this report, and I read this about this group was doing this because of sanctuary, I think I would be concerned. I would be concerned even if my mind said, oh, well, look, this just can't be. Nevertheless, I better check that out. Because if you just dismiss this and it turns out to be true and somebody shows up on the front porch with all kinds of high-tech stuff, this could not be a good thing for the planet. And so if I were sitting there at the MOD's UFO desk, I read this, this would cause me to say, all right, I better check into this. The further communication was, in many ways, you are more advanced than us, but you have been capped. And I would, if I were at MOD, I would want to know, what does this mean, we've been capped? Does this mean that we're as advanced as we're going to get? Does this mean that we have no possibility of defending ourselves against whoever may be coming? And if so, why? The interesting thing about after that, when the being says, but you've been capped, the interesting thing about it is what comes next. Our existence is much like your own. We also have concerns and needs. There's the answer to why are you doing this. We have concerns and needs. Whoever is coming is apparently superior in some way to these beings. That's why these beings are on the run. If they were superior, they wouldn't be running. They have concerns. And they have needs. I don't know what those needs are, but apparently it has something to do with our biology because they do all these biological tests and experiments and extraction of DNA and extraction of sperm, extraction of eggs. Examining the eyes, all kinds of things happen. And this being says, the reason we're here is sanctuary. You're more advanced than us in many ways, but you've been capped. Our existence is much like your own, but we also have our concerns, our needs. You've heard me say on this show, every civilization acts in its own best interest. Every nation acts in its own best interest. Nations don't have friends, they have allies. And these allies have pledged together that there are certain trigger events that if they happen, they will throw in together and work together because it's in their own best interest to work together at that point. Civilizations act in their own best interest. And what did he say? We have our concerns. We have our own best interest and needs. Don't know what they are, but he's telling you that what they're doing is in their own best interest, not yours. It's in their own best interest because they have concerns and needs. And they're here for sanctuary. That means that to these beings, you are cannon fodder. Now, when I say this, there are people who say, well, E.T. isn't hostile. It isn't hostile to act in your own best interest. I act in my own best interest. You act in your own best interest. It's in my best interest to eat breakfast, so I do. That's not hostile. It's in my best interest that I go for walks and get some exercise. That's not hostile. That's in my best interest. You do the same thing. It isn't necessarily hostility when they act in their own best interest. They're not acting against us for the purpose of just being bullies. That's not the point. The point is that what they're doing is in their own best interest. It may be, on the other hand, very uncomfortable for us. It may be very unpleasant for us. That doesn't mean they're hostile. Now, there are people who say, I don't believe E.T. would do that. Well, what do you think? E.T. is some kind of like monolithic race out there? There are millions of races of E.T.s if there's one. If there's one race of extraterrestrials, there are probably millions of races of extraterrestrials, civilizations of extraterrestrials. Some of them more advanced than us. Some of them right at the same level we are. Some at a level behind us. Scattered throughout the galaxy, throughout the universe, if there's one race, there's probably millions. And you think that it's, you know, you can just say, well, E.T. is this? All right, let's back off. Let's put you in a spacecraft. Let's put you out in space, and you look back at the Earth. And now let me ask you a question. Are those people down there hostile? Your answer would be, well, some are. Some, most are not. They've got missiles and lasers. If they wanted to blow us up out here in space, they could do it, and they haven't done it. Well, okay. The same thing applies if there are extraterrestrial civilizations scattered throughout the galaxy, throughout the universe. Are they hostile? Some are, probably, and some are not. But all of them will act in their own best interest. They will act in the interest of their civilization. Why would you think it would be different out there than it is here? One of the things I discovered when I was serving overseas and serving with people, international police officers, and meeting and working with soldiers from around the world. Listen, I've got friends from that. We became close friends who are Russian, Turkish, British, Irish, Chinese, Japanese, Thai. We're friends. But their country is going to act in their best interest. Russia will act in her best interest. The United States will act in her best interest. Pakistan, I have a great friend in Pakistan that I served with. Pakistan's going to act in Pakistan's best interest. China, in China's best interest. That doesn't mean that we're all at each other's throats and that we're all enemies. We're not. On a personal level, all of us were friends, but our respective countries are going to act in their best interest. Our civilizations are going to act in their best interest. And I can't see how we could expect that civilizations off planet elsewhere would be any different. It doesn't mean they're hostile to us, but they will act in their best interest. And sometimes that's going to be something that's very uncomfortable and disconcerting for us, because it's not in our best interest, it's in theirs. And it may even be painful, as both Colin and Gary, the witnesses in this account, have said. Now I'm going to open the telephone lines because I'd like to know a couple of things. I've shared with you what I think is the reason that the MOD got involved with the investigation. I mean, this has some deep features to it that you don't get in a lot of the various abduction accounts. I've shared that with you. Here's a couple of things I'd like to hear from you. First of all, just in general, what do you think about this and this message that the answer to the question, why are you doing this? What do you think about the answer to that question? Why do you think the MOD got involved? Do you think I've hit the target, or do you think maybe something else is in there that I've not picked up on? And then there's this. A lot of you listening to me have had abduction experiences. I want to hear from you. I want you to call 623-444-5889, comparing what you experienced to what I've talked about here tonight. I'd like to hear what you think about it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike, Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
This thing that caught my attention there was the fact that they were going down the road and got picked up off the road while they were moving.
Yeah.
As you know from one of my own investigations, this happened to one of the cases that I investigated. So,
Mike, I was just sitting here trying to think. I don't recall that one. Did you tell me about that? If you did, I don't recall it. Tell us about it quickly.
Okay, it was the one that called the Oscar Jordan case.
Oh, yes, yes. But go ahead, because the audience needs to know.
Yeah, and there was a group of people from Evansville, Indiana, going home after working a day for the Kirby Company. Sorry for the plug. And all of a sudden they noticed this object in the sky right above the horizon. And so they pulled over to get a good view of it, and when they did, it came to rest right above them. And they began to pass out systematically in the car. And all of a sudden Oscar woke back up, and like this particular couple of people, the whole car had been picked up off of the road and was sitting inside of this UFO. And Oscar, likewise, saw a lot of people, little guys, and they were running around and doing various odd jobs. And so then he said that he asked for and received a tour of this UFO. And that then after a while he was talking to this gentleman, this Gray or whatever, and he asked him, said, he told him, said, I don't have time for this, as I've got to get into Evansville, Indiana for happy hour. And said, the guy looked at him and said, well, what time do you have? And he looked at his watch, and then all of a sudden it dawned on him that these people didn't go by the same time that he went by, and that they were traveling in a self-contained world, almost like us in a universe. They just moved where they wanted to as a whole. So actually, they put them back in the car, set them down, and the people began to wake up as the vehicle was ascending into the night sky to draw attention away from themselves. They produced a holographic duplication of the ship so that people would look at this instead of looking at them. But Oscar apparently happened to look and see both the hologram and the ship as it went up. So basically, that's that story.
All right, so let me ask you a question now. You sent me a DVD about that, and
yes,
I've seen it, but now I'm trying to remember the details. When did that happen, Mike?
1973.
So here's one very similar happening in 1992. So 73
exactly
takes us back even further. Was the UFO black?
No, it wasn't black. And it looked a whole lot in its design, if you remember the papers that I sent you, like an early prototype of the B-2 bomber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it had the window type and it had telescoping rods off of the back of it, which allowed them to increase the field strength around the vehicle, you know, by the further out they would telescope the rods, the stronger the field around the craft. So, but, you know, and here's another thing I wanted to say. I thought about this as you were talking about it.
Okay.
Little green men, that's okay. Remember, Osiris had children.
Yeah, you're right about that. Okay, well, Mike, thanks much. I appreciate the call.
Come in. I just wanted to remind you of that, and I get really irritated at the fact that apparently we don't get a lot of souvenirs from these guys when they meet, when they take us.
Yeah, that's true. So, we don't. But one thing, they don't seem to be able to stop. They don't seem to be able to stop people from remembering later. And then if they go through hypnosis, they pretty much remember it all. They don't seem to be able to permanently block that.
Well, I'm not really sure they want to, because I think they use this as a way to gradually awaken the planet to what's coming on. They're coming their way.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mike, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889. Let me also remind you, if you are, let me turn that volume back up. Mike's phone was so hot, I had to turn it down. So let me remind you, if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can call us. As a matter of fact, I had a telephone call from Sweden today. So you can call us. Or if you don't want to make the international long distance call, you can use the additional feature called a flash message. It's on my website. Scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. The link for the flash messages is right above that picture. If you're in the USA or Canada, use the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I'm going to focus initially on the thing that he said, that we are capped.
Okay.
My opinion of that statement, this is just my opinion, is that we have somehow been blocked from recognizing, realizing, and exploring our true spiritual nature, and this has nothing to do with religion.
That's my opinion. Okay, I don't think I linked it to religion, did I?
No. But I'm just, for those who want to.
Oh, I see what you're
spiritual.
Saying.
Spiritual.
Yeah. It could be. Now, for those who are students of ancient texts, or who are religious and read the Bible, it says we've been capped twice. Our DNA was turned down once to turn our longevity down to 120 years, and then it was turned down again to 70 years, and that's in there. You want to hang on through the break, or does that do it?
No, I'll hang on.
All right. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this.
Virginia, and you are smart because you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. We have on the telephone with us Brent from Wyoming, and we're talking about a particular alien abduction case, but the principles involved here kind of overarch and apply to a lot of alien abduction cases. So, Brent, as we went away for break, I was saying that people who study ancient texts and have studied the texts that are in the Bible, and people who are religious and read it for that reason will know that it claims that we were capped twice. Once we were turned down to 120 years, and once we were turned down to 70 years.
Yeah. I think I tend to think it goes a little bit beyond that, though. I tend to go with the idea that we are being blocked from realizing and exploring our true spiritual nature as spiritual beings.
That could be.
Part of this is all the garbage that goes on in the media and the world and all that. It's just a distraction. I'm not saying conspiracy or anything, but that's just my take on it. It's just a distraction.
Well, you could be right about that. You could be exactly right about that. All right. Anything else, Brent?
Now I have one other thing.
Yeah.
The sanctuary thing kind of bugs me a little bit. Not that you're wrong, but I'm just thinking, why would they be doing what they're doing for sanctuary? Would they be trying to essentially turn themselves into a hybrid race so they can survive, because we are a quote-unquote innocent bystander? And
well,
whoever's coming would not attack us, or what?
I don't know, but I can't be wrong about it, because all I did was read it.
Yeah.
Sanctuary.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, sanctuary has the meaning of I'm running from someone to a place of safety. Now,
yeah.
How do all of their experiments and taking DNA and stuff, how does that play into that? I don't know.
I don't either. That's what bugged me.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's just my thoughts.
Yep. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Yep. Goodbye.
Bye. 623-444-5889. This is, without question, one of the most intriguing cases of alien abduction that exists in all the literature about alien abduction. What do you think about it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
I'd like to further expand on the word sanctuary there, as well as the concept of our being capped, and starting with the idea of sanctuary, especially as associated with these greys, which is what our Scottish friends there witnessed and described. If we listen to the narrative of what's come from a lot of the people who are very conversant and seem to be experts in this field, guys like James Horak, and if James is listening tonight, I know he's one of your listeners. I hope he's listening. I hope he calls in. Anyway, we understand that these greys are kind of what can we call them? A rogue kind of technology that were created ages and ages and ages ago by a very advanced civilization that used them as kind of a deep space probe representatives of themselves. You know, they were artificial intelligence, artificial technology wrapped in kind of a biological wrapping. You know, I think James described them as hard drives wrapped in meat. And you know, they were sent out on missions to explore and transmit back information and so on. And you know, the people that created them then at some point were wiped out. You know, the whole civilization is gone. And these probes, these greys, have built into them as part of their programming the drive for self-preservation. You know, they want to live, they want to survive, they want to continue their mission, which is just to experience things and transmit somehow, but their masters are gone. And from what we hear from some of these gentlemen, that these guys, these grays, are troublemakers wherever they go. They're not above lying and deceiving. Apparently, that's one of the tricks they picked up along the way to help them exist in sometimes hostile environments. And a lot of the more advanced civilizations out there wipe them out whenever they encounter them, because these guys do create so much trouble and are so destructive. And they're not sentient beings as you and I are, but they are artificial intelligence with this gray, housed in the gray form that they're in. And then here they are. They've encountered us on planet Earth. And we are indeed capped, and we're capped in more ways than one, you know, including the dumbing down, the neuro-linguistic programming that we're given from the time we're born and in school and even afterwards, you know, through the media and so on. What's the narrative we tell ourselves about ourselves? You know, what's the average man and woman's story? You know, what do they believe about themselves? You know, it's not very much, you know, and so they're very easily deceived, very easily dominated, very easily led around. But our strength is that we are organic to this planet. We have a right to be here. You know, we are part of this biosphere, this Gaia sphere here. We're part of it. Now, if they can somehow genetically embed themselves with us into our species, or even in things like cattle, you know, and I think that's where a lot of the cattle mutilations come from. You know, I don't think they're too choosy about what form they embed their intelligence in. As long as they can get themselves embedded here, if there is another superior outfit coming this way that might eradicate them if they found them, if they didn't find them, but they found us instead, you know, they might feel that they're safe. You know, that would account for the sanctuary. And then, of course, the capping, you know, I think I already covered that, you know, that's our programming. And in addition to the biological capping, you know, that's happened, as you mentioned, twice already.
Well, twice that we know about.
I think what's interesting, though, Kevin, you know, part of the narrative that's out there about ETs and so on and their involvement. Say again, Kevin.
Oh, that was several seconds ago. I said, yeah, we've been capped twice that we know about.
Right. You know, we hear about the Greys being involved with Eisenhower. You know, we hear about deals being cut with the powers that be and the Greys and so on. And I don't think we're innocent bystanders anymore. You know, I don't think we can be called that. You know, if our leaders have joined league with some of these Greys and if they're taking advantage of technology and so on, I don't think we have a right to call ourselves innocent bystanders anymore.
Well, you know, look, these Greys...
It's right not here. Our fault down here at the rank and file. We weren't part of that decision-making process, but I think we're going to have some accountability here.
Well, these Greys, by using the term sanctuary, you know, in answer to his question, why are you doing this? And the first word was sanctuary. I think that indicates that they're aware of the fact that somebody is on the way with a can of whoop-ass.
I agree. And somehow if they can embed themselves genetically with us, that they're going to escape that. I think that's their thought process.
It could be. Steve, I want to thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. Any other comment or question?
No, that'll do it, Kevin. Thank you.
Right,
it's been an excellent program. And if James Horak's listening, call in, buddy.
All right. Thank you. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 would be the number to call. And that will give you the opportunity to be on the air and say what you think and make your observations or ask your questions. You know, this this whole thing about why was the MOD interested in this case? The one feature here that I haven't seen, you do see other abduction accounts where there's teleportation, and other accounts, not too many, but there are other accounts where the whole automobile is teleported up into the spacecraft or into the craft. So you do have those. But the one feature here that I have not seen in any other abduction accounts is this thing about sanctuary. This thing about sanctuary would, if I'm sitting at the desk, at the UFO desk, at the MOD, and I read this account, and I know that I'm reading it 4 years after it took place, so 4 years have gone by. So there have been a lot of developments in these 4 years, and I'm just now finding out about this. And I read that statement about sanctuary, it's going to cause me to raise an eyebrow. It's going to cause me to say, even if I think this isn't true, I'd better investigate this. So I'm thinking that this is the focus. I'm thinking this is the reason that the MOD was so interested in investigating this. And I'm glad they did investigate. But like I said, even if you read their reports on it, you're never going to get the real opinion of the investigator or investigators, because that sort of stuff doesn't go into reports. Just the facts go into the reports. And so, you know, we don't know if the investigator came to the conclusion that, hey, you know what, I think this is real, or if he came to a different conclusion. We don't know that, and may never know it, probably will never know it. Only the facts go into the official reports. But this thing about sanctuary, and Steve just pointed it out, this thing about sanctuary, if they've come here basically on the run from somebody else, from somewhere else, and if then they are attempting in some way to embed themselves into the, as he pronounced it, or as he called it, the gaiosphere of this planet. And if these stories are true about governments having treaties with them and doing business with them, so to speak, if all of that has any truth to it at any level, then he's right. We cannot think of ourselves as innocent bystanders now. We're part of the game, and it may be a game that we're prepared to play. It may be a game we are not prepared to play. Having never played it before, it's something I would think that the authorities in charge of this game would be quite concerned about. These grays are more advanced technologically than us, and they are not prepared to play it. They're seeking sanctuary. We'll be back right after this. Alright, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach, and that means we only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. Let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Steve from San Diego.
Hello, Steve.
I wanted to offer an alternate explanation for the what the creature said.
Okay.
When he said sanctuary, maybe he meant, please don't ask me that, I can't tell you.
Hey, you know, I hadn't thought about that.
Don't pursue this.
I had not thought about that. It could be used that way. It sure could.
So he didn't feel that he was allowed to tell him.
But then he went on and said, you know, you're more advanced than us in many ways, but you've been capped. We also have our concerns and needs. So it's as if he does answer it.
Yeah, indirectly he's saying, but he's not telling him directly what they're doing.
That's a good observation, Steve. I had not thought of that, but yes, you could use the word that way.
That's the way I took it when I heard it.
Well, that's a great observation. Is this your first time to give us a call?
No, I think I called last year.
Last year. Don't let it be a year before you call us again, Steve.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call.
Okay, Kevin.
All right. Hey, now that's a great observation, is it not? So it's like this being, he telepathically gets the question, why are you doing this? And it's like telepathically kind of holds his hand up and says, whoa, sanctuary. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Jackie from Florida.
Hello, Jackie.
And I was kind of just listening to him talk about James, which made me think of the last time he was on. He talked about the EMVs were kind of working their way this direction. And he also talked about the EBs. And whenever the ETs kind of pop out, the EBs always kill them. So maybe they're just hiding amongst us seeking sanctuary from the EBs. And that's kind of what he meant by saying sanctuary. And it's also the prep room in the church.
It's also what?
A prep room, like where the priests would put on their robes and things before they would go out for Mass. They call that the sanctuary.
Yeah. Yeah. But now, you know, the term sanctuary was in use and the concept in use before there was church.
Oh, yeah. They used to run in and just illegal aliens and stuff, right? Anybody who's in trouble and needed to be hidden would seek sanctuary.
Yeah, but even, you know, before the time of Jesus, so it's
yes.
Before there was church.
Yes.
They were using this concept. So, yeah, what do you think about what the last caller said, that it may be sort of like he's kind of like holding his hand up and saying, whoa, wait a minute, sanctuary, I can't tell you that.
That could be. I thought that was a good, interesting thought too. And
yeah.
there's something that we're capped. We're either sealed or we're capped so that they can't get to us somehow. Is what I think he means by capped,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to our age.
Well, I would think if you start dumbing down the age thing, or you turn down the age thing, you probably affect intelligence as well.
Yes, but when you think about when you cap something, it's like if you cap a beer or a pop, you're keeping in something, you're containing stuff that can't come out.
Yeah. Could be, yeah.
But it's been an interesting show. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, and thanks for the call.
Sure, thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right, if you were to call right now, I could answer, but within a couple of minutes here, it'll be too late. It's called the A-70 abduction because the road they were on was A-70. It's a fascinating story, and it contains elements that we don't find just scattered around the literature of alien abductions. It's something that the MOD took seriously enough to investigate. What they determined, what they decided, we'll probably never know. But the thing that's most interesting to me about this is not that the car was teleported up into the craft. That's interesting, but that's not the most interesting thing. And all of if you read about this and you read the hypnosis sessions, fantastic details come out. Interesting stuff. But that's not it either. The thing that is most interesting to me, and I think would have been to the MOD, is the answer to the question, why are you doing this? sanctuary. You are in some ways more advanced than us, but you're capped. We also have concerns and needs. Whatever that means, sanctuary, whatever it means, capped, never forget that last statement. We also have concerns and needs. Every civilization, everywhere, universally, is going to act in its own best interest. That doesn't mean that they're hostile, but it also means they're not benevolent. They will be benevolent if it's in their best interest. They will do things that to us seem hostile if that's in their best interest. You can't just point at a planet and say, are they hostile or benevolent? There's all kinds there, and all kinds of civilizations on this planet. You can't just point out at space and talk about E.T. like it's some monolithic civilization out there. If there's one, there are millions. And they're all going to act in their own best interest. In some cases, that will seem benevolent to us. In other cases, that may seem hostile to us. I wonder about the wisdom of aligning ourselves with any of the groups. I mean, I kind of like the idea of just stay neutral. As one caller said, it's too late for that now. We're not innocent bystanders now. We have apparently aligned ourselves with these guys. But why? Why align ourselves with any of them? They can carry on their business. We'll carry on our business. If they've got to go fight, let them go fight. Apparently our leaders, in their infinite wisdom, having sipped copious amounts of the Kool-Aid, have apparently embedded us into somebody else's argument. And so I'm not sure how that will play out. But it does seem, who was it? Steve from San Diego said sanctuary could just mean I can't tell you that. Excellent observation. I still kind of go with the other one. And that is, this group, whoever they are running from somebody. And they are not technologically able to handle them. I don't know why we would think we are. If they were, they wouldn't be running. And if this is real, if, it's a huge if, but if it's real, then somebody is on the way with a great big can of whoop-ass. That may not be real pleasant for us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. Last night we had to deal with some technical things, and I had to be away in order to handle those technical things. But we got them handled, and I'm back tonight. I'm glad I was here. I'm glad you were here. And I hope you'll be here all next week for every single show. We don't do anything but home runs. Are you a member? If you're not, nobody but you can fix it. My friends call me Steve Elias. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.